This is Whitney.
And this is
Hysterical Women, the podcast that no one asked for about our thoughts about gender in our society.
Each week, we're going to dissect events, macro
and micro, to determine if we think this week was a win
or a loss for feminism.
We are in the same room.
Wow.
Wow.
We can say things at the same time. And like Zoom isn't like cutting in between having like a nightmare.
Yes. Well, for those of you listening who don't know, the reason that we're in the same room is not because we're being unsafe.
No.
It's because we are quarantined together in a bed and breakfast in Vermont.
Which is finally what Whitney wanted this whole time.
Which is what I've been angling for this whole time. No, we're here. We're working on a project called The Improv House, and we've quarantined a whole team of comedians together, and we're going to be live streaming improv and comedy shows every night for the next month.
So buckle up. Get ready.
Get ready. Go to theimprovhouse.com for tickets. They're $5. It's going to be a new show every night. Come join the fun. Which also leads me to the point that I have literally nothing to talk about today because I've just been focused on making the improv house.
Eating, sleeping, drinking, improv.
Yeah.
That's in that the order, line.
Though.
Eating, sleeping, yeah. No, me too.
Yeah. So today I'm mostly going to be giving commentary and just listening, which is something I could do better of in general. So this is like it's essentially an improv exercise because I'm just listening and responding.
Supporting, yes-anding the hell out of whatever I say. Even if you don't like it.
Even if I completely disagree. The rules are, for this episode, I agree with everything.
Oh, wow. I'm going to say some crazy stuff. Probably not. I don't know. Do you have a question, though? No.
I sure don't.
Amazing. Okay, I feel like there's been a lot of conversation about like whether this house is haunted.
Yeah, we could talk about that.
Like, do you actually think so?
Okay, truthfully, no. Because I think I've said on the record before, I have had paranormal activity experiences before, which do not feel like are happening here
at
all. That feels very different. But I will say, I think it's fun to pretend it's spooky as long as no one's actually starting to get legitimately freaked out.
And I can't always tell where my line is. Like, I also like to like lean into the drama of it, like be like, ooh, there's such good wallpaper here, but like, oh, the wallpaper and like who lived here before. But then like, I actually do scare myself. So we might have to like figure out like
the balance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We. Me. But I'm going to need other people to help me.
No, actually, I didn't tell you this, but last night, so Nora and another cast member, Matt, were driving in last night, and most of the team is here already. We're still waiting on one other incredible comedian, Sydney Battle. But they were getting in really late last night, and everyone was trying to decide how much, like, if they were going to stay up or not, just depending on, like, what time you were getting in. And they're like, what if we scare them? And I was like, that would be, we're like going with it. And I literally asked the question. I'm like, did anyone bring a dummy we could put in Nora's bed? And then I'm like, no one brought a dummy. Like, of course.
Did anyone bring a dummy? And that's, I'm sorry guys, the improv house is gonna be bad because no one brought a dummy.
Then like, what is comedy? But then we were like, well, that might actually be kind of like, we just don't know if you guys are going to be scared. So we're like, let's not start out by haunting them. So, and then it literally went from like 100 of being like, let's all plan all these ways to scare them. And then everyone was like, actually, let's just go to bed and we'll meet them tomorrow. Except for me, I stayed up. So no, I don't really think it's haunted. I do think it's fun. However, at one point, I was sitting in me and John's bedroom, which has two beds.
That's haunted. So does mine, though. Haunted.
Very spooky. And we were talking, and then I was like, okay, I think I'm going to go down and, like, get to work. And immediately, our door just popped open. And that feels a little haunted, but in, like, a good way, where I'm like, if there are ghosts here, I feel like they are in favor of what we're making, and they're trying to push it along in a helpful way. And I appreciate that. I appreciate their guidance.
I think it's mostly like probably the humidity and like how kind of the movement of energy, but like, who am I to say about science, really? What am I doing?
Or maybe it's ghosts just trying to be helpful. But also, I thought this was funny that the B&B host, she's been texting me, and she asked for tickets to our show, and I was like, oh, like, just let me know when you want to come. I'll send you the link for free. And she's like, no, I want to see your website. And I sent it to her. And she's like, oh, thank God. I thought you guys were filming porn.
The spookiest porn ever. The
spooky vintage porn.
Which, like, there's definitely a market.
I'm sure there is.
And if the shows don't go well,
we have a plan B.
We have options. So don't be worried about us.
And maybe it'll be, like, funny vintage porn, like comedy porn.
Is that not everyone's sex life?
Kidding. But anyway, I thought that was funny, and she was relieved, and that's my answer. What are your thoughts? Do you have extra thoughts about whether or not you think it's haunted?
Okay, so I walk in, and there are two twin beds. That is my room, and it's very Shining-y. Like, I definitely feel like I could be, like, possessed in one into the other. We, like, have kind of a clone issue. But honestly, when I was sleeping in this very comfortable bed, I have, like, been more scared going to sleep than I was last night. You know, like, sometimes, here's kind of my, when I'm scared going to sleep, I'm kind of like, you know what, like, you've lived a good life. Like, if you're murdered in your sleep, like, it's okay.
And yeah, that's kind of how you've done your best.
And that's kind of how I, like, put myself to sleep most nights. you've done your best. Close your eyes. And if God wants you to die,
she wants you to die.
And that's beautiful. And that is this natural progression of life. I'm just like, Jesus, that's the wheel. You know? And if you want to U-turn off a bridge, whatever. U-turn off. I didn't drive up here. I just wanted everyone to know. But so, yeah, like, I wasn't scared like that, which I have been in other kind of similar vibed houses.
That's great.
Yeah. I did lock my door, but.
I mean, that just seems smart, though.
Yeah. I'm smart.
Yeah, it was funny. So we were looking at the photos. We sent the photos of the place to the whole cast before, and so everyone kind of got a feel for it. And then John and I made room assignments, and I, like, called Nora to, like, break the news that she had the twin bedroom. And we hadn't talked about it yet, but because everyone else has, like, a queen bed, and
if not two
queen beds, and
if not two and a fainting bed, which is kind of the one thing I asked for.
Is actually the one thing you asked for. You can borrow it anytime. Come faint in my bedroom whenever you want. But we're, like, on FaceTime, and I'm like, do you want to see your room? And Nora's immediately like, I got the two beds, didn't I? And I'm like, do you want to see it? I was just, like, avoiding the question. And Nora's like, just tell me that you gave me the twin beds.
And I'll yes and the hell out of it. And I have.
And you have. And also, you made the bed today.
Yeah, you could call that making the bed. I don't think any hotel / like, parent that's like, can you go make the bed would, like, qualify this as making the bed. But I did, like, throw the comforter up towards the pillows.
That's making the
and
bed.
That's the homemaker I am.
I love it.
I think that's good.
I think that's good.
Should we go into the things that I want to talk about?
Yeah. Yeah, we should.
Okay. So this week was National Non-Binary Day, but I also have read that it's, like, Non-Binary Week. So I say take the week. I think
absolutely
everything should take the week, but always. Anyway, so I was thinking about how, like, yes, this is a feminist podcast, because I think that's kind of the foothold that we feel like we can talk about, like, gender and society and in a fun way.
And hopefully redefine what feminism is, at least to us.
Exactly.
And what we believe it should be.
Exactly, because I feel like so often it's super exclusionary and often very binary.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to celebrate.
Yeah.
National Non-Binary Week. I just wanted to, something that I found on the interwebs that I really liked was by, the name is My Name Is Just P, and it's, like, multiple Instagram slides. I asked non-binary people what they would like binary people to know, and I thought, I'm just gonna read this because I liked it, you can hear it, and maybe you'll like it too.
I love it.
So here were some of the sentiments. They don't have to get it. They just have to respect it. Yeah.
Yeah. That seems like a good base level.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you don't really need to fully understand my gender to respect me. And I think that that's true.
A good life lesson in general.
In all ways, you know? The word identify, like they identify as, is a microaggression. It's like, they just are.
Oh, I haven't thought of that. That's really smart.
Stop trying to figure out what is inside our pants. All caps. Yeah.
Yeah.
None of our business. Gender reveal parties need to stop.
Yes.
There's a note that, like, Google the article written by the woman who started gender reveal parties and why she regrets creating a monster.
Well, and have you read it? The woman who created them, her child is non-binary and just has since been like, that was a, like, we didn't know, I didn't mean for it to become this thing. That's not, like, we're not doing that anymore.
It's like, you can make a part, you can make a cake filled with whatever you want and just, like, have that be a Tuesday. You know yeah. what I mean?
I saw something also on the internet that's like, the only gender reveal party should be if someone wants to celebrate their, like, transition or something like
exactly,
that.
Exactly.
Not, like, an unborn child.
There is one good TikTok where it's, like, a parody of a gender reveal party and it just, like, they cut into the cake and, like, green goo comes out and then they all, like, pretend like they're going into, like, an apocalyptic alien. And that's the only vibe
that's
that I like.
That's the only vibe. Yeah.
Don't just degender your language, degender your thoughts. Mm. And the note is like, seriously, if you're struggling with pronouns, ask yourself if you still think of them as man or woman. Do you use their pronouns to them but not in your head? Do you still attribute their body parts, characteristics, expression to a binary gender?
Mm.
We don't owe anyone androgyny, and we know ourselves. And stop expecting us to be able to debate gender with you. And if my identity threatens yours, then you should probably focus on your own, not mine.
Yeah. Truth bombs.
And then it's like, and that's that on that. And I was just like, yeah, I think that also, like, this is something to, like, continue to remind yourself. I liked that.
I like that. And I like, I don't want to take away from anything about these thoughts specifically being toward, like, non-binary people or any, that's not my intention in saying this at all, but I am noticing a lot of trends in those points, and also the way that we need to be looking at race, and also I think all rights, and I don't know, I think that this time of, like, quarantine and has become a time of reflection and realizing what it is to learn, and most of that I think boils down to, and it seems reflected in these points of, like, actually you need to take the ownership on yourself and not make it the responsibility of someone else. And also, like, above all, you need to, like, question your own thoughts about it and the constructs that have been given to you by society, and be okay with, like, oh, I have actually learned things that were wrong and offensive, and, like, I am willing to take the ownership to change that and, like, make those changes in my thoughts and in the way that I'm showing up instead of trying to change the world around me.
Yeah,
and,
like, explode your brain.
Yeah, and I think it is, yeah, just, I think all of those points are, just point to, like, actually do the work yourself and respect other people while you're figuring it out. If that makes sense, like,
yeah.
Like, it's not anyone else's job to fix the way that you're thinking. It's your own job. But as you learn that, always giving the benefit of the doubt and always, like, giving the respect, even if it's something you're still trying to figure out yourself.
Heck yeah. That was an incredible addition.
Thank you.
Also wanted to highlight, so as of, like, 7 hours ago, this monument has been taken down, but in Bristol, UK, there was an enslaver monument of Edward, who cares about whatever his name really is, but an artist erected this incredible monument of Jen Reed, who is a Black woman in Bristol, part of the Black Lives Matter movement. It was, like, this resin sculpture, which is, like, for all of those the artsy kids out there, very cool, weird, like, fast drying.
It's like kind of the clear coating, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it can come in a bunch of different colors, but all of my, so I have a lot of art history friends
okay.
that study, and they talk a lot about resin. And
I see it a lot on TikTok.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm also an artist.
So actually, all artists, and we're all really working in the medium of resin these days. So the mayor has taken it down since. He's like, I think that the community in Bristol needs to decide who they're going to erect, because it was kind of like in the middle of the night, like the artist put it up. The artist did collaborate with Jen Reed. But I just, I don't know. I love some guerrilla art happening. Yeah. You should check
it's very,
out.
It's very co-conspirator.
Very co-conspirator. The sculpture is freaking awesome. It's like, obsessed. It's very powerful. It's very, very cool. Jen Reed says she has felt an overwhelming impulse to climb on the plinth during last month's protest. So, like, where the old sculpture had been erected, because also it was like the protesters tearing down this enslaver statue, which is also so good. And the sculpture is about making a stand for my mother, for my daughter, for Black people like me. And I was like, maybe you guys put it back up, but I think even just like the creation of it and like this conversation around it is rad.
And a win.
And a win. One win. One win. I think that we've talked a lot about representation on the pod and just how fundamentally important it is. And this week, Naya Rivera, tragic death. She played Santana on Glee, along with Everything. Spent so many hours of my childhood watching Glee, specifically mm-hmm. with my sister. And there has been just like this really beautiful response by a lot of people that I know on Instagram, and also just like in the world, talking about the impact that her character, this lesbian Afro-Latina on Glee, and how impactful that was to a lot of people. And I remember watching it, and I think that like Glee, you know, did a lot of things, but like also was one of those shows that had like so much representation, mm-hmm. and it's like being able to see different people or people like yourself reflected on screen and singing really freaking well, to then be like, oh, I can do that, or I feel like validated in that person, or I feel seen. Yeah. And they spoke to on NPR Wembley Stewart, and Wembley was just talking about like seeing Santana and the Britney relationship that was on Glee, and kind of the impact that Naya Rivera's legacy is going to leave, like, for LGBTQ people of color. And I just liked this quote, what they, like LGBTQ people of color, what they're going to create and put into the world because she gave us what she did is going to be so, so incredible, and we can't even conceptualize right now what it's going to look like. And I was just like, so sad, but just like, She also exploded the mm-hmm. door open for a lot of people to feel seen on TV. And I was like, and then I watched a compilation of all of her videos and just, you know, cried.
Yeah. 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 It's so, I mean, obviously such a tragic moment right now, but just thinking about like her legacy is so powerful, even though her life was so short. And yeah, that also reminded me of two things. One was this TikTok that, or an Instagram video or something, of this little Asian girl watching Philippa Sue on Hamilton and just being like, that's me. And she's like 3 years old. And it just is like seeing like such a powerful, talented woman who looks like you when you don't normally see that. It was really powerful for me to watch, and just kind of, I think, reaffirming my belief in the need for representation. And the second thing was, last night we had a team meeting with our whole team, and we were talking about a lot of different things. But I mentioned Sydney Battle, who I'm hoping we can guilt into joining us at some point while we're here on the podcast. But she said something that I thought was just so profound, and she was much more eloquent than I will be repeating it back. But she just was talking about and I'm sure that I'm late to this party, but I thought, I don't know, I just thought she put it very, very eloquently, was the difference just between, like, diversity versus representation. And, like, because we were talking about the space that we're creating right now, and she was saying, you know, it's so, and I think a lot of people feel so cringy about the word diversity, and it's been misused and all of these things. But the idea being that there's a space that you have to infuse diversity in. So it's like taking something that's already set and then trying to change it. And she was saying that's what she feels like diversity is, where representation is building those spaces from the ground up, and like that being the framework, instead of trying to fit someone into a system mm-hmm. already, it's like building it to, like, from a place of enoughness, if that makes sense. And I thought that was really beautifully put, and I think was really inspiring to me, and wanting to be proactive in creating the spaces from that point, instead of, because I think her point, and I'm kind of, I guess, now making an assumption about her point, but just that diversity kind of feels like an afterthought, whereas, like, the idea of representation, I think that's something Glee did really beautifully, was, like, it was a representative cast, not just like a bunch of white people and then like her character being the token.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, totally. One of the artists I wanted to highlight was, I mean, I'll just keep yelling about her, Sandra Oh, but she did a really great awards chatter podcast, which is just like, if you have an hour and you want to listen to her talk, it's really lovely, and I've just been such a fan since Grey's Anatomy, but also like Killing Eve, obviously. But her, she was talking about how she went in to read the role of Bailey, who is like she like leads the like intern, are they intern, the Meredith Grey and Christina Yang group of new...
The residents?
Residents, yes. I'm a doctor, and it's hard because it's like, it was so long ago that I was a resident that
right.
now...
And now with your full practice.
Yes, my private practice. if you get that ref, it means that you watched the spinoff of Grey's Anatomy called Private Practice. But that it was either Christina or this character, Bailey, was... initially written as like a small like white blonde woman, and I think that is an example of these incredible examples of like breaking the mold and like not letting your expectation like cloud what the product can be.
Yeah,
you know, and staying like looser.
Yeah,
in the form, which I think will also leave room for better representation. Mm-hmm. But I also really love the idea of like it just being from the foundation.
Yeah. I also just want to like compliment you, pat you on the back, but I think you're really good at like whenever we're writing something of being like, well, why couldn't it be this? Like, because I do think that like my mind and like society growing up in white suburbia, like I do kind of just default, I think a lot of the time we all do, and just like kind of what reflects us also and what reflects society. And I think you're very good at looking at questioning that, and I appreciate that.
Thank you. I think it's something that I'm trying to do more, so thank you for supporting me on
on
exploding the brain.
I think we've got a title for this podcast.
I think
episode.
It's also my neuro thesis that I never wrote.
Were you supposed to?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I like...
You like didn't actually graduate college?
Yeah, I'm actually still in college, you guys. and then I just wanted to highlight a couple things that artists... they're kind of just artists, we already know, but... this actually happened last week, I think, but Phoebe Robinson got this book deal called, or an imprint deep publishing. I like to read a book, but I don't really know about all the, but she has a new line of books, publishing house, publishing
deal,
but it's more of like a
series,
imprint series, but it's called Tiny Reparations, and it will be a highly curated imprint.
Imprint is like a sub-brand.
Gorgeous.
So, yeah.
Imprint, which is actually a sub-brand, dedicated to publishing both literary fiction and nonfiction, as well as essay collections that highlight and amplify unique and diverse voices. The Imprint is committed to publishing complex, honest, and humorous work that not only reflects the current conversation, but also pushes it forward. And I'm just like, as if I need another reason to be excited about Phoebe Robinson.
That's awesome.
And then, not to like talk about a different podcast, like on our podcast, but I think that it's really important
that
to know.
That was not in the contract. That is a conflict of interest.
Is that Michelle Obama is coming out with a podcast called the Michelle Obama Podcast.
Which is going to be a direct conflict to our podcast.
It's like, it has the same, like, time. We're, like, going to be competing for, like, you know.
Airtime.
But...
And, like, all the people who care about her also care about us.
It's going to be hard.
It's going to be hard to
but
choose.
But, guys, I think you should listen to it.
Yeah. That's amazing.
But it comes out July 29th. It was just great. Like, I mean, it's going to be, like, interviews. But then the article was just, like, talking about Michelle Obama and how she just, like, kind of she was, like, the most loved first lady, obviously. But, like, then just, like, talking about how she dismantled the kind of, like, figureheady first lady that we had only had before, and talked about like what this podcast is. And she just said that it's like, the first off in the article it was like, and then Obama said, and I was like, that's Michelle. Like, yeah. I feel like so often I've read it and it's like our president,
right,
Barack, but it was like,
that's so cool.
I know, I was like,
I can't wait.
But the relationships that shape us, from siblings and close friends to partners, parents, and mentors, to our relationship with ourselves and our health. I hope that this podcast will help listeners open up new conversations and hard conversations with people who matter most to them. That's how we can build more understanding and empathy for one another. And I'm just like, heck yeah.
Heck yeah. I love that.
So something to look forward to July 29th.
I love it.
That's all I got.
Okay. So I do have one lady I'd like to highlight.
Oh my gosh, thank you for bringing
very important contribution.
Thank you for bringing something to the pod.
For once. So I want to highlight comedian Ziwei. Her Instagram handle is @ZiweiF. And she's a funny lady, and she's been doing a series where that's gotten a lot of attention lately, where she's interviewing canceled people, predominantly. I mean, I think it's just canceled white women, but she's also interviewed like Jeremy
O'Harris.
So not all canceled people, but the series I think is, I mean,
she's definitely diving in with some canceled people,
and it's honestly, it's pure gold. She is not holding back any punches, and she does not need us shouting her out. She just was like featured on, I don't know if this is the first time, but just like, I found her through like a New York Times article.
Yeah, the New York Times is like pretty obsessed with her right
now. Yeah, as they should be.
Yeah.
But she's funny, and also I honestly, like, I will say, not that anyone cares about my opinion about it, but these interviews, like, when I was listening to them, I was kind of like, are these helpful? Because they're people just really being put on the spot and, like, revealing and not really able to defend themselves and also not really able to learn in the moment. So I was like, this just kind of feels like a hot seat. But I don't know that it's necessarily helpful for those people, but it did really inspire a lot of reflection on my behalf of like, how would I answer these questions? Like, where are some of the holes and things that I haven't even thought of that like she's highlighting in other people that maybe I didn't realize either or whatever. So as a white woman, I thought it was really helpful for me to listen to, and I think she's hilarious, and I hope to meet her one day.
And it's also not like the environment that she's creating is like hostile or like these people don't have an opportunity to say,
I mean, she's just allowing them to dig their own grave.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But I also think we were talking a little bit about it, and that, like, me, I feel like I am having a lot of anxiety about, like, doing the wrong thing, which is, like, I'm trying to also, like, break that in my brain and be like, you've done the wrong thing. You will do the wrong thing again. Just, like, do it, in a different way next time because you're learning and growing, or less bad wrong. But I think watching people answer incorrectly, or that there kind of isn't, not that there, sometimes it feels like there isn't really a way to respond to the questions.
Yeah.
And like, living in that discomfort for them and for, like, in myself, I'm like, and then they go on with their lives, you know?
Yeah.
Hopefully, like, more knowledgeable and more aware, but it's like, you know what? Like, get used to that discomfort.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Preach.
Amen. I don't know any...
any more Christian vernacular.
Merry Christmas.
You talked about Jesus today.
I know, I said Jesus take the wheel, but that is kind of like colloquial. That's
not... Okay, tell that to me.
Like, I've never heard Jesus take the wheel. It's like actually something, it's like kind of literary, it's kind of beautiful.
It's kind of beautiful.
It's really nice to be in the same room as you.
It really is.
I didn't cry, but I think that was because I was just tired. But also, I cry when I'm tired. But what I'm trying to say is I'm crying on the inside with happiness to be in the same room as you.
Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. And on that note, signing off.
Signing off. Goodbye.
All right, that's what we have today. If you're interested in being on the Hysterical Women podcast, send us a DM and we would love to have you.
We'd love to hear from you. More voices in the conversation can only be good.
Thanks for listening.
If you listened.
If you like the pod, hit subscribe and leave us a review.
Also, if you have a macro event that you'd like us to cover, slide into our DMs on Instagram @hystericalwomen.